Stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit clevelandbrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Not only can you get the Browns Daily Recap there, you can get the show in its entirety as well at your convenience. And you'll get Carucci's Call, the five keys to victory. That's coming up. Is that later today, Notorious?
It is.
Later today, and right now, it is time to play a little Friday Forecast.
Get the music cranking up here. Doesn't that get you guys ready for football?
It does.
Hearing some NFL films.
Yeah.
So inspirational.
All right. Here we go.
Number five.
All right, guys. Going to do something a little different here for this first one. Asking you to call your shot twice here in the Friday Forecast. Give me your shots on the other two AFC North games of the weekend, Baltimore at Chicago and Detroit at Pittsburgh.
Well, Lions beat the Steelers. I think they beat him handily. I'm not sure Ben Roethlisberger finishes the game. He's expressing so much fear and concern, a little too much. And they are going to get after him. And his game, his extending the play approach to quarterbacking, is not a good approach against this Lions team. They will get to him, and they will bring him down. They will bring him down hard. So Lions win that game, I think, pretty handily. I think the Bears... I like the way Josh McCown has played, and I think the Bears could have left well enough alone, leaving him in there and not going back to Jay Cutler as soon as they did. I like the Bears in that game. I do.
I like the Detroit Lions 27-20 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do, however, think that there are some starting to show there is a little bit of a lack of toughness right now in the Chicago Bears defense. Their defensive line has been decimated.
They're hurt.
Their linebackers have been decimated, and they just lost Peanut Tillman, their top corner for the season. Baltimore 23, Chicago 20.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning, you guys, on the Really Big Show. When's the last time you can remember picking against the Steelers at home? Like in late November,
it's
in
been a
game like this.
Yeah, it's been a while. It wouldn't have shocked me if they had gone down last week to the Bills. I mean, they are just that team that you just don't know about. They definitely responded, but I don't know that that's sustainable. What they did last week.
Number four.
All right, guys, how many turnovers will the Browns force on Sunday in Cincinnati? Because coming again, remember the Browns, they've only intercepted 6 passes on the season. That's 24th in the NFL. Trying to be Nathan, a numbers guy there. How many
done.
You like that? How many turnovers will the Browns force Sunday?
I got them with 2. I think they're going to have 2 interceptions from Andy Dalton, and they have to. They win this game only if they can get him to turn the ball over to make mistakes. It's not good enough that they prevent him from making big plays. They've got to force him to make mistakes, and I think the winning total is 2 INTs.
I also have them with 2 interceptions and 4 sacks, forcing Andy Dalton into some turnovers. Now, the Bengals will also force 2 turnovers in their own, which is why it's going to be a tight game. But, yes, 2 interceptions for the Browns against Andy Dalton.
Man, number 3.
Number cruncher, I like that.
Well, we try anyway. All right, which of Cincinnati's so-called supporting players on offense would scares you the most coming in? Gresham, Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert, or Gio Bernard?
No question in my mind. None whatsoever. It is Giovanni Bernard, because when you look at the struggles the Browns have had the last couple of weeks, it's been with a guy who's reminiscent of Reggie Bush, and we saw what Reggie Bush was able to do to the Browns in that game in coverage on third downs. That's where I'm the most nervous about him. If they can find ways to isolate Giovanni Bernard on the linebackers of the Browns, that's not a great matchup for the Browns. So Giovanni Bernard, and look at what he's done in just his last 2 games. And now, granted, they've lost those 2 games, so his success not necessarily linked with their success, but still he scares me. Against Miami, he had 104 total yards. He also, in that game, had 2 touchdowns. Last week against Baltimore, he's got 95 total yards and a touchdown. He is the number 2 threat, as I see it. If you're scheming, you say A.J. Green's number 1 to me, Bernard's number 2. And then, because if you can take him away, you can make Andy Dalton, in many ways, one-dimensional. I'm not worried about Greenells. Make him beat you throwing the ball to Eifert, Gresham, Marvin Jones, Sanu. I'll take my chances.
I'm worried about Tyler Eifert. I think Tyler Eifert can do a lot of damage to this team that he didn't do the first time around to the Browns. Capable of it. All your points on Giovanni Bernard are well taken, but I do think that the Browns will do a better job dealing with that aspect of the screen game and so forth. But when it comes to Eifert, what he's able to do in the spots that he's able to find, the holes he's able to find in coverage, especially in a zone blitzing type of team, scare me. And his talent, as he, this is now just beyond the midseason point. He's a rookie who's finding his way and is comfortable in Jay Gruden's offense. He's the one who scares me the most.
I hope they've studied the tape of the last 3 weeks, because they played a New York Jets team that had struggled with tight ends earlier in the season. He was held to 2 catches for 23 yards. Then they played Miami, who again struggled with tight ends, 3 catches, 14 yards. And last week, with no Jermaine Gresham, he saw 10 targets. That's the most he's ever seen in his career, 3 catches, 55 yards. He has just one touchdown on the season. I think that there are things that can be done to eliminate Tyler Eifert, and hopefully if they do, I would take my shot with Jermaine Gresham and his 8 yards a catch all day long over Eifert down the
seam. It's those isolations that we've seen the Browns get in trouble with, right? It's Craig Robertson. It's those types of things that make you concerned, because those ISOs are the problem. And I'm the safeties for the Browns have played well, but they too have had their occasional issues against tight ends.
Number two.
Yesterday, Browns defensive coordinator Ray Horton kind of raised a few eyebrows, and I don't think in a bad way, but suggesting that Tayshaun Gibson was the Browns defensive MVP through this point. What I'd like to know on the Friday forecast, who needs to be the Browns defensive MVP Sunday? Who's your defensive MVP Sunday for the Browns in order to get a win?
I think without a doubt it has to be Jabal Sheard. I want to hear this guy involved with, if he's not getting the sacks by himself, he's assisting on them, although I want him to be making them. I want that breakthrough dominant game. I want the Jabal Sheard that I saw prior to his knee injury against Minnesota. That guy has got to emerge.
Yeah, and I was going to go kind of echo that. You single him out. I'm going to say Sheard, Kruger, Mingo, the entire defensive front, the pass rushers, they need to get in Andy Dalton's face. We talked about the numbers. His completion percentage almost 20% lower when he's facing pressure. His yards per attempt goes from 8 to 5.5. His quarterback rating goes from in the 90s down into the 50s. Get pressure. That is the key for this game.
More important than the Hayden versus A.J. Green matchup?
Yes.
I believe in Joe Hayden.
Because the Joe, I think what Joe will do is what he does. I don't think, I don't know that that necessarily controls the game. It's more of what happens before Andy Dalton throws to A.J. Green, right? I think the Hayden concern is when the ball's in the air, and if he's gotten it off without a lot of pressure, that's going to make it a lot tougher on the best of cornerbacks to handle a receiver like A.J. Green. This defensive effort, the stopping of the Bengals offense, must start behind the line of scrimmage.
And gentlemen,
number one,
call your shot. Browns at the Bengals. I need a score, and I need the keys to a win, or a key for the Bengals to beat the Browns, if that's what you're calling.
All right, I'm calling my shot right now. Cleveland Browns 23. Cincinnati Bengals 20, Browns win in overtime, sending the Bengals to their third straight overtime defeat. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a game. The keys, pressure on Andy Dalton, eliminate the big plays. They've only allowed one pass play of more than 40 yards. I said earlier today, Andy Dalton's thrown for more yards on plays over 20 yards than any quarterback in the NFL. Eliminate those big plays, get pressure on Andy Dalton, and while I do have the Browns turning the ball over a couple times, take care of the football and no mistakes like the one we saw. It's also where the turnovers occur, how they occur. No mistakes like we saw from Tennessee last night on that kickoff return that completely changed the momentum of the game. Get off the field on third downs. Browns win.
Okay. Actually, I thought you took my score. You really didn't. But it's the same margin. I have the Browns winning 24-21. This was the score I gave Jeb Hobson from Bengals.com. 24-21 Browns. And my reasons are very similar to yours, but I'll show you the biggest exception or difference. I do have them first and foremost making Andy Dalton's life as miserable as possible, forcing him into mistakes. Again, not enough that they deny plays. Got to force this guy to turn it over. I'm expecting two interceptions and maybe even a sack fumble from Andy Dalton somewhere along the line. Somewhere the ball gets taken out of his hands, stripped out of his hands, maybe once, maybe twice in a barrage of sacks. Okay. The other thing, though, is I don't think the Browns can afford the two turnovers that you expect them to make against Mike Zimmer's defense. And I think if that were to happen, it offsets what the Browns might do from a standpoint of making mistakes, and will be just enough to give the Bengals a chance to win. This has to be a zero-turnover game for the Cleveland Browns to emerge victorious.
Victorious, notorious.
Victorious, notorious, and that, gentlemen, is today's edition of the Friday Forecast.
And thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead here on this particular show that we call Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in a little bit, the regular on this show, and, of course, with Julian Gerard, which follows this show. Let's hear from you. Come on. It's Call Your Shot Friday. More shots to be called. 216-578-0850. Right, Nathan? We got to hear
from you. Yeah, and we are 3-1 when we both predict the Browns victory. So let's get to 4-1.
All right. I like it.
Come on in and chime in with us. Much more coming up. ESPN 850. Vic and Nathan. See ya.